President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's so nice to have you here on this September the 26th on the West Coast, already now September the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We got a bit late start tonight. I understand that the network had problems from about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And there must have been a lot of truth coming out, and there will be tonight on the show. Before I bring on tonight's guest, I want to let you know that I appreciate all the email that I've been getting, lots of thank yous for the guests that have been on, so I'm indebted to them for the great information. Anybody from Michael Anthony to Dr. Bill Deagle, Pastor Matthew Stephen Benning, virtually everyone, Jim Mars, I've got people asking, when is he going to be on again? Just spoke to Dr. B last night, and he's going to be on two shows coming up in October. He'll be with us pretty soon. And I've got a good friend, Eric Orion, who originally turned me on to the pictures of Otto Skorzeny, which led me down the path to dig up the research on the so-called Bush family, who are really the Scherf family. And I'm getting lots of requests for, or let's say, advice from folks around the country for some guests they like to see. So all of you folks out there, without my naming everyone, you know who you are. I want to thank you for the kind thoughts about future guests, and I'm doing my best to contact those folks. I'm going to be doing some music programs, some programs where we talk about healing, where we keep bringing you more solutions, and we are going to also honor a few people that have passed recently. I feel it appropriate to mention to those listeners out there that know who Mary Ann Ponder was. Mary Ann passed away a couple of days ago, and I found out just before I went on the air. And she was a friend of many of the talk show hosts that have been on my show and whose show I have been on. Mary Ann has also been on my show, and some night I'm going to replay her interview. She was just a regular person who had extraordinary abilities to connect people, to network with people, and bring people together for a common cause. She was a patriot. She was a devout Christian. And I nicknamed her the Link Lady. This woman knew more links to websites than anybody on the planet. And anyone you talk to would tell you the same, anyone who knew her. And we're going to miss her terribly. She was about to start a halfway house, which was going to focus on many of the returning military personnel that are not getting appropriate medical attention through the VA and all the government programs. She was going to actually take that upon herself to help those folks, and what she was about to do is going to be sorely missed as well. Now, Friday nights is our science night, and tonight we're going to talk about science, but it's going to be about political science, and I think the science of illusion and the science of lying, definitely the science of politics in conjunction with illusion and lying. And I'm going to use the series that I have written for the Idaho Observer as a foundation for that. Those of you who haven't heard the news now, I've been promising for the last several days to have the part four of the Three Stooges go to Washington, which is called Barack Obama, The Real Story. That is posted, and is posted on the site to read, as well as a printable version for those of you that want to make a hard copy. It's a tremendous amount of work, and I have I owe a great gratitude to Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle for all the work that they did. They had to check out the research, and they ended up down the same rabbit holes that I did. They followed the path that I laid out, and I'm hoping that the readers and the listeners will do some research, too. I'm already getting people emailing me comments about things that they've discovered. I don't profess to know it all, but I was able to deduce that we've been given another entree of lies and deception, obfuscation, and illusion all together. I've been asked if I listened to the debate tonight, and I have to say, honestly, no, I didn't. And I have a very good reason for not doing it. After all the research I've done on John McCain and Barack Obama, I can't imagine anything they would say having any substance that I would be interested in. I certainly wouldn't vote for either one. And I'll leave it to my listening audience as to who they will vote for. That'll be on your conscience. But if you have any wonderment about who these people are, I suggest you go to directlakeproductions.com, click on articles, and begin reading The Three Stooges Go to Washington. Start with part one, go through part two, part three, and part four, and if you can believe anything they say after having read those, more power to you. With that, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He's with us usually every Friday, unless I bump him off for some crazy reason. He has been on Evident Footprints virtually every week since I've been on the air. And he's with us again tonight and is going to definitely contribute some useful and enlightening information to tonight's topic. Welcome, Jim Murray. How are you, Jim?
Don, I'm fine. How are you this evening?
I'm raring to go. You know that. I got a lot of work off my shoulders, and I'm as I said, grateful to all the people that helped me, and now I'm in a position where I can talk about it. So it's a tremendous relief to be able to do that. And people can follow along if they want, you know, with the written material. I know you haven't had a chance to see it yet. So I'm going to be your seeing eye dog, so to speak, tonight. And that's a good thing, because dog is man's best friend, so.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Okay, I think, first of all, it would probably be appropriate for us to discuss this bailout situation. We're being hoodwinked, as you rightly acknowledged several days ago when you and I had a chance to talk off the air about this. And I've talked to many, many people about it. I've even had the chance to talk on a couple of other radio shows. And you know, I had predicted this at least 2 years ago. I was not alone in predicting that, though, because there were other people following Wantagate, following the trillions of dollars that had been hypothecated, put into the central banks and mortgage companies, and illegally invested and put into offshore accounts. Now, since that's happened, the money has been frozen. It's been found. It's been frozen. There have been as many as 7,000 lock boxes discovered in these mail houses. They're sort of like post office box places. What do they call that in Southern California? It's like a mailing service, and you can get a I want to say Post Office or Us or something like that. You've seen these around various parts of the country. or mailboxes, etc., for example. It's one of those places. And they found stolen artwork, gems, huge amounts of gold and stashes of cash, probably drugs. They're not talking about everything they found. That's money that was initially stolen from our treasury or stolen from these finance companies. Now, they have to blame it on someone, so they're blaming it on the housing market. We have, get this figure, about 10,000 houses a day are being foreclosed. This is the Treasury saying this. I actually heard Henry Paulson say this in front of Congress a couple of days ago. And they're pushing for this emergency spending bill, this investment that's going to be attributed to the taxpayers. Now, how many people that actually will entail across the country? If you estimate 75 million taxpayers, they'll be paying $13,300 apiece to cover $700 billion. But there's some lying going on, and Ben Bernanke's been caught in a couple of lies. Of course, the media is not pointing this out. He keeps referring to $14 trillion deficit that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have, when in actuality, what they have published is $12.4 trillion. And there's another $1.6 trillion that they're trying to allude to that may be part of the problem. Well, when you add $12.4 and $1.6 trillion, you get $14 trillion, which is exactly how much money Citibank is illegally holding. These are the worldwide settlements. Some of this money has come from China. Some of it has come from the Queen of England. Some of it has come from a prince in Saudi Arabia. And they're using this story of the mortgage problem as a smokescreen, because they're trying to get this money so they can begin turning it into hypothecated trillions, which they're doing through the derivative and hedge fund markets. That's, in the nutshell, what's going on. Now, the reason Congress is actually listening, because they know about this. They've been informed about this. Here I am, a talk show host, an investigative journalist. I don't work for any of the major networks. I don't have their resources. And yet, I know this is going on, and I know that they're on the mailing list, on the email list. They've seen this documentation. So they know this. And the fact that they're not reporting it shows they're covering it up. So we know the media is complicit in the lie, and they're complicit in covering up something else. And I want to give you the opportunity, based on what you heard within the last couple of days, what has been broadcast in certain parts of the world but is prohibited from being seen in the United States. And I turn it over to you, Jim.
Well, after that steamy introduction, you know, I'm already beginning to feel my temperature rise. But anyhow, yes, they are covering up a lot of things. And what's interesting, Don, you mentioned earlier in your opening comments about the so-called presidential debate. I caught a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. Luckily, I had a barf bag handy just in case things got really bad. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't much of a debate. I mean, the old concept of a real debate between statesmen is probably an extinct issue. But the reason I touch on that issue about the debate is because of the fact that almost every major network on television was carrying that show. And this becomes relevant only when you compare it to the situation which I'm about to mention. The World Court had assembled and released a three-hour documentary which described all the crimes and illegal manipulations from a financial point of view which have been actually executed by Bush Sr., the Clintons, and Bush Jr. over, let's say, the last 20 years or so. I may have covered more than that, but that's what I was led to believe was the content of it. And I forget which day it was on, but it was earlier in the week, possibly Tuesday night. It was supposed to be viewed worldwide, and in this country, it was supposed to be carried by Fox and CNN. And I stayed, glued to the television set, and both of those stations, there was nothing but normal gibberish, and it's just unbelievable. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it certainly gives you a clear picture of how much the media is controlled in this country. There isn't so much as a mumble, not on television, not in any of the major magazines, and certainly not in any of the newspapers. So the irony of it is, you now have to get news of situations which are occurring in the United States politically and financially from organizations outside the United States, like the BBC and some of the European stations, and possibly Russian and Chinese stations as well. And that's pretty deplorable. And the American public is just absolutely in dreamland. Now, this bailout, as it's so aptly called, and don't kid yourself, folks, it is a real bailout. But it's not for us. It's a bailout for them at our expense. And the interesting thing is, the way that thing is worded, the $700 billion that's going to be appropriated initially if this bill is allowed to go to law is only a drop in the bucket. That's not the end of the issue or the total amount of money that they expect to appropriate. It's only to take care of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac situation, and or even part of that. But then the way the thing is written, they can return to the wishing well any time that they need more money. And folks, let me tell you what they're really drawing down on, just so you understand. This nation is designed to be debt-driven. And that means that it's essentially operating on fiat money. And the true source of all the wealth in this country that's being appropriated by the government is actually your own credit line. Whether you understand that or not, or whether you believe it or not, is another story. But this, the way this is set up, they are literally drawing down on your credit line, which is worth, I forget how many $100 million for each American. And if you didn't know you had a credit line, then that means you don't understand the way this financial system is set up as an instrument of perpetual debt. But they understand it. And by using your Social Security numbers and all the mechanisms associated with financial system that is operating on debt and fiat money, they intend to draw down on your future wealth. And if we allow this, I guarantee you it will be the end of America as we know it. So any dreams that you had for your future or your children or grandchildren's future, you can forget about it. They will be slaves of the corporation for generations to come. And incidentally, we will be the only country left in that idiotic predicament. Because right now, the European nations are going through a similar metamorphosis to get out of this perpetual debt situation, which, don't forget, the United States was the pilot project to test this concept. And then it went to the European, what do they call that thing, Don? The European group of...
The European Union.
Yeah, it went to the European Union next after it was given approval here. And the initial intent was to spread it under the guise of democracy. And I don't even want to touch on that because it's such a perverted term, to cover the finances for the rest of the world. Well, it turns out that we have allies that are in places that you just wouldn't believe. And they may not be allies in the sense that they're people who are really willing to come over here and straighten things out, but they're allies in the sense that they would like to see America survive the way it used to be simply because of the fact that the crumbling of such a large nation is definitely going to rock the boat all over the world, and these other countries are preparing to ward off that kind of an outcome by grouping together and forming a new financial organization based on true wealth, the way the United States used to be. And those two countries, friends, are the same two countries which the propaganda machine in the United States badmouth daily. I'm talking about China and Russia. Now, China has got the largest volume of actual gold metal anywhere on the planet as their source of financial backing, and it's in the hundreds of thousands of tons, which they have managed to accumulate over the last 30 years or so. And they've done it by industrializing their nation and beginning to export real goods and real wealth. If you think about it, the United States doesn't make anything anymore, folks, except for those delicious, nutritious hamburgers which come off the assembly line every day. But as far as any heavy industry or any real scientific or industrial pursuits, we are practically dead in the water. And in Russia, they've got an endless amount of platinum at their disposal and probably one of the largest oil reserves in the world. And those two countries have decided that they're going to base their economies on real wealth, not fiat money, and they don't care what the rest of the world does. They're going to set the precedent, and they're going to combine their wealth together and form a new currency. I don't know what it's going to be called yet, but that currency is going to become the new world standard. And if that's accepted, the American dollar will be worth absolutely nothing anywhere except here. And of course here, it will be affected by the hyperinflation, which this wondrous new bailout plan is going to cause to happen on our home soil. And so, the entire rest of the world is going to shun this country because the dollar will be worthless, will be isolated from the international trade community, not because of the fact that they don't want to sell us stuff, but because they don't want our money. You know, I mean, you can't draw a picture of old man Bush on a piece of paper and go and buy a steak dinner with it, they laugh at you and throw you out of the restaurant. And that's just about how worthless our money is going to be in the very near future for a whole bunch of reasons. So we're headed down a real unusual and painful road, and this can be avoided if we starve out these animals that are in charge right now. Because as Don pointed out, the $14 trillion, which is in all these locked accounts, shut down accounts, is destined to be turned over to help bail out the U.S. debt, restart the economy, and pay for a whole bunch of humanitarian projects, including some energy-related projects that I know of, and a whole bunch of civil and cultural improvements. And Lord knows we need all kinds of things. Our infrastructure's falling apart here. And since they can't get their greedy little paws on that money, and they have tried, they have initiated this heinous plan to tap your credit line and mine and milk it for all it's worth. And it's a shame that you're also uninformed when it comes to the real nature of a debt-driven economy and how fiat money works and the real purpose of the Federal Reserve and its insidious relationship to our Treasury. But, you know, the time has come when even if you don't understand it, you should really take it on faith, because this is virtually your last chance. And I'm not kidding. Isn't that true, Doug?
Yes, and well said. I couldn't have said it that well myself. What you say is also supported by a couple of other facts. Number one, we were to be in compliance with the Basel II agreement as of December 1st, 2007. That was the last deadline. Of course, they extended it another 10 days, and then the end of the month to the new year, and it went on in several-month increments into 2008, and they've been playing this game. We used to be part of the G8, and they've had private G7 meetings, leaving us out of the loop because of the lying Bush cabal and the Cheney cabal and the Rumsfeld cabal and the Rice cabal and the Paulson-Bernanke cabal. And keep in mind, they recently got rid of Paul Wolfensohn, who was the World Bank president. You remember there was a little scandal that he had given his Arab girlfriend. Here you have a Jewish or a Zionist chairman of a World Bank, and they're talking about the terrorism, and he's got himself an Arab girlfriend, giving her a raise hike. And that was the last straw for them. It was probably just the ruse to move him out so they could put someone else in. Well, it's a merry-go-round every time. All these guys, whether they're working for the Federal Reserve, the World Bank, or the Treasury, all of them work for Goldman Sachs. Is it any surprise that Goldman Sachs might be in line to pick up one or several of these banks? That is, if they haven't already done that. And all this is consolidation into their side of the playing field. It has nothing to do with saving jobs or saving homes or saving lives. It's to enrich themselves. Now, we've talked about the Illuminati numerous times, and you've got a split in the Illuminati. You've got the Bush cabal trying to be the bosses of the Illuminati families, and so they're fighting. As Christopher Story often calls it, they're rats in a sack biting at each other. That's what's going on. They're making us the scapegoat, or they're making the corrupt mortgage industry the scapegoat, and we're going to talk about that when we shift gears in a few moments and focus on Stooge 2 of the Three Stooges. But I think it would behoove us to go into Stooge 1 a little bit before we go into Stooge 2. This is going to be a barn burner of a show tonight, Jim. And I would also add that you're very correct in what it's doing to the world economy. The whole problem is these people want their money, and that money by rote has to go through the U.S. Treasury to be divvied out to some 160 countries that are on payment tiers from 1 to 10, depending on where what their position is in facilitating what they originally called the destabilization of the ruble, and that may have been part of it. However, I see it more as just outright bank robbery and gold theft. And the accounts are frozen. They can't get to the accounts. And so they're trying to get their hands on some fresh cash. Let's have the U.S. citizens pay. Let's charge the taxpayers. Well, it's enough. It's time to stop, and it's time people wake up. What do we have to do to wake up the public? What do we have to do to get people to understand what's going on? Well, when they start realizing that they're going to have to cut back, as you accurately referred to, on the fast food hamburgers and French fries and milkshakes, and maybe their kids are going to have to forego soccer practice, and when gasoline is $15 a gallon, and it doesn't have to be, it's just more of the same criminal activity. Stop and think, folks. Who owns the oil companies? Who's been in bed with the oil companies since the 1920s and the 1930s? It's the Bush family. Really, the Scherf family, for those that aren't awakened to that fact. And that has been proven to be accurate research, and I have no reason to doubt the accuracy of the other research that we're going to talk about tonight. This isn't so much about talking about my research as it is talking about the facts. And so you can tell the temperature's going up here, too, Jim.
Yeah, and speaking of facts, Don, here's another interesting little tidbit. You know, these reptilians do the same thing over and over again when they have something that works. And if you look at the way in which the economic history of the country of Germany went into hyperinflation spirals just prior to World War II, you know, that was almost a scaled-down version of what they anticipate to pull here in the U.S. And one, you know, that's the kind of thing you were alluding to when you're talking about gasoline being $15 a gallon. Well, people have already had a taste of what it's like when gasoline hits $4 a gallon, and that's only a drop in the bucket compared to what these creeps can initiate if they really want to. But here's the thing that hasn't hit home yet, folks. You get into the kind of hyperinflationary spiral that we're talking about, and never mind gasoline. Milk is going to be up to $8 a gallon before they're even done milking you out of the first $700 billion. And they're not going to stop there, because once they get this door pried open and they have access to all your personal wealth, they're just going to suck us all dry. And the breadlines of 29 are going to be a joke compared to what you're going to see in this country, because it's not set up for breadlines. And the attitude of the people and the tolerance of society is totally different than it was in 1929 and 1930. Today, what's going to happen is when the food runs out and you find out that companies like Monsanto and some of the other big giants are the only ones who have any seed and are in control of everything as per plan, there isn't going to even be a place you can go to buy seeds to plant a few lousy cucumbers in your yard. You're going to have to be completely at their whim, because they will be in control of electricity, gasoline, food, communications, and every other darn thing that you can shake a stick at. And by the time you realize that you should have rebelled, you're going to have a shackle around each ankle and a steel collar around your neck. And that's what's waiting for us, guys. Don't think it isn't. And the interesting thing is, everything that happened in Germany prior to World War II, with the takeover by the Nazi regime and the conversion of the German, the original German aristocracy into a fascist nation, is being done here on a larger scale. About the only thing that hasn't happened yet, and this may be in our favor, is that they haven't collected the guns yet. But I tell you this, when the mandate goes through to pick up the guns in the United States, you'll know that it's all over but the shouting. And you want to know what kind of ramifications there are to hyperinflation of that magnitude? there's this one interesting little story that has survived over the years concerning how bad things got in Germany. People used to go to the grocery store with wheelbarrows full of marks, their life savings in cash, to pick up a few lousy bags of groceries. And the money was so useless that there are actually stories where the people that were pushing these wheelbarrows down to the grocery store were mugged. And what was stolen wasn't the money, folks. It was the wheelbarrow, because it was worth more than the garbage that was in it. And that's exactly where we're headed, exactly that route. And I don't see this nation as being tolerant of those types of extremes, because we're spoiled rotten. And so we're just going to turn on each other, and we'll become a bag of rats also. You just picture a city the size of New York City with no food being trucked in on a weekly basis because there's no gasoline and because nobody wants New York to have food so that they can control the populace. And what happens when, after the riots have settled down and after all of the warehouses have been raided and all the grocery stores have been emptied of food? What do you suppose is left, folks? You'll be turning on each other and eating one another, and this will be happening within a matter of a few weeks. Don't kid yourselves. In Russia, during the Russian Revolution, people murdered their own children, butchered them and salted them, and survived on their kids until the following spring. It's a horrible thought, and if you don't think it can happen, you just wait till those rumblings in your stomach start to get to the point where you can't stand it anymore, and you'll be eating your shoes, the neighbor's dog, or the neighbor himself, and it'll happen right here in the U.S., and that's nothing to sneer at. Sorry there, Don, I get a little hot under the collar.
No, it's okay. I suppose it's also worth pointing out who some of the conspirators are behind this. And then we'll move on to our next topic. And, of course, we can consider it's the cabal in Washington, D.C., and they're New York banksters. And Christopher Story likes to call them the kleptocracy. And, of course, we have to include Israel, poor little old Israel. And let's not forget the Vatican or the U.N., many people would be appalled to know that the UN and the land that their buildings are on in the United States many years ago has been turned into an international zone. Very few people are aware of that. And something should be done about that as well, because I see these people as nothing but pimps and organized crime. Now, I'd like to read something here quickly, Jim, as a wrap-up. This is the latest update to this situation going on. This came from Christopher Story, and I added it to a news article that's been updated three or four times during the past week. And it's regarding this bailout. This one is referred to as the second update for September the 26th. He says, who's been rescued? The banks? Wrong. The crooks. Or I should say, who's being rescued? The crooks, he says. When Paulson was televised getting down on bended knee in front of Pelosi, as though he was proposing to her, yuck. What do you suppose he was saying, apart from possibly asking for a less prominent lamppost? Here's what he may have been pleading to his co-conspirator. Please, vote for whatever convoluted version of the plan comes out of the works, because, quite clearly, if you do not, we'll be toasting on Monday. Or we'll be toast on Monday. I don't care what Congress does, as long as you all vote for something, because then W will be able to appear on TV and praise me for having saved America and the whole world. But the underlying reason that you must do this, darling, that's how it's written, is that it's our pocket money, the on-the-books cash that we need for our new trading platform so's we can continue our hypothecation operations after we get out of this hellhole like nothing ever happened. So be a dear, would ya? Fact. The money that Paulson wants Congress to deliver is indeed the crooks' trading platform money. They cannot touch the settlements. They cannot steal money any longer without getting caught, as has happened on multiple occasions. Their own stolen money is stuck and cannot be brought out onto the books because it is illicit, and most of it is frozen. So they need some more cash so they can start trading all over. They can turn $700 billion into several trillion in weeks or less. Further fact, embedded in this deception, which has gone so predictably wrong and is being perpetrated for public consumption, is the lie that the rescue package, any old package, will be the solution for the crisis. However, the mechanism that will resolve this hideous crisis is not this charade, but something entirely different, to which is attached a lethal deadline. The rescue package serves as an exclusively cosmetic purpose in this context. We refer, of course, to the settlements. This is all we are allowed to say at this juncture. At an earlier stage of this music hall, Paulson made some comment about his original plan sticking in his craw. What will stick in the craw of the American people, have no doubt, is that these odious crooks are still deceiving, because the new money they are after is not needed for rescuing the corrupt banks at all, but for rescuing the crooks and their cronies so they can all go on playing tiddlywinks after they manage to escape from the Beltway. But they may be making the arrogant and increasingly pathetic assumption that they will never encounter any of those lampposts in an upside-down position. At this rate, the American people may well have the last word on that score. The game is well and truly upside down when the so-called U.S. Treasury Secretary is seen kneeling before the Speaker of the House of Representatives like a medieval pilgrim worshiping a saint. Or like Lavrenti Beria, Stalin's Interior Ministry, MVD, chief, who, having ordered the murder of millions, broke down and fell on his knees in floods of tears when his executioners arrived at his cell to deliver the standard bullet through the temple. That's from Christopher's story this evening. Now, I had already decided what I was going to talk about when I came upon that, and I thought it would be a good way to show that we're not the only one seeing this way. Christopher Story, bless his heart, has been a sole voice in the world exposing this corruption. Any comment, Jim, before we move on to our next topic here?
Well, you know, I've been following the Christopher Story and some of the other informants on this issue for quite some time, and you know, they put their own lives at risk to bring the truth to the world, and it's amazing that you might want to wrap this up because you know more about it than me, but they phoned him in the middle of the night and fired three gunshots in, you know, on the phone, just as a way of saying that he could expect to be terminated if he was to persist in the unraveling of this stuff. And he was given some limited protection by the authorities in London. But who do they trace that back to, Don? Do you want to comment on that recording of the gunshots that was played into his phone?
Yes, in fact, he said that because of the nature of many of the threats and all the incoming calls that he's getting, he has the voicemail pick up the calls, and these particular gunshots, which were on a recording, as you just referred to, did not register on the voicemail. He heard the shots come through, but the voicemail didn't record it, and he knew instantly that it was an intelligence operation. He reported it to the authorities. They came back and said that likely it was George H.W. Bush and certain rogue elements of the CIA and British MI6. And he referred to John Scarlett as the head there in England, who would have been a collaborator. And this is based on what they traced over the phone and the internet tracings they've had. They've been attacking his website nonstop to remove information. And they do this to BBS Radio, Rents.com, and many other research sites. They've had a few games with my site as well. And I'm just republishing, other than the things that I'm writing, I'm just republishing other information. But if you're telling the truth, they don't want it to get out. They have to stop it. And you know what? You can't stop the truth. The truth is what it is. You can stop the lies. You can stop the lies, and it starts with those that are telling them. They can stop lying, but the problem is, in telling the truth, they're going to have to admit all how corrupt they are. And that's a pretty scary thing for them. But
well, here's
you know
one
what?
Other thought too. Here's one other thought too, Don. You know, the reason why they're so desperate to pull this move is because if they can't pull it off, they will be broke in a very, very short amount of time, and all of this is going to come out, and there will be the biggest lynch mob you ever saw in your life. After every lawyer, every politician, every judge. And every, I don't know what all else.
TV evangelist.
Cabinet. the whole bleeding bunch of them are going to be heading for the hills. And they know this. As a matter of fact, story also talks about the fact that there is a so-called suitcase, and I'm not sure it's a real suitcase, but it's used as a catch-all phraseology to describe a database in which all the crimes, all the manipulations, all the murders, all the subterfuge, all the theft, and all of their other crooked dealings have been kept track of for the last 30 years or so. And they plan to release this information when the time comes. Now, the problem is the rest of the world is going to sure know about it, but will our nation ever be allowed to hear about it? That depends on us, guys. If you really want to know how deep we are in it, I mean, it's up to our nostrils right now, and pretty soon you're going to need an aqualung to get around. It's the crap is so deep. So, you know, the future is in our hands. If we don't allow this bill to pass, they are going to go down, and it will be our saving grace in the long run. Believe me, they are desperate.
Yes. And you know, you look at the mainstream media, they're parroting the lie, and you've got people, you know, they put their little shills out there, the mainstream public, oh yes, this would be good for our country, we need this. You have no idea what's going on, folks. We had a situation in Cleveland, Ohio, some months ago, within the past 6 months or so, where, virtually overnight, 2,000 homes were foreclosed, and the homes were torn down. They were torn down, and there were 2,000 families immediately homeless. And someone got the idea to sue, and the city started looking at this. Well, the issue was when they went to court and said, "I don't have a copy of this agreement. I was making my payments to XYZ company, and all of a sudden, I'm told Deutsche Bank owns the property." Deutsche Bank. That's interesting. Any relation to the Bushes, the Nazis? And Deutsche Bank, believe it or not, suffered minor damage in the so-called terrorist attacks on 9/11. They were terrorist attacks by our government. You better believe there were terrorists, but it was our government that were the terrorists. And Deutsche Bank got a brand new building. They tore their building down. Well, they had to because of all the corruption that was in there that they had to hide. Just like they blew up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. They had to hide the corruption. They had to shoot a missile into the Pentagon, into the finance offices. And they happened to hit the finance offices in the Murrah building as well. And they hit the finance offices in the World Trade Center. And in building number 7. That building wasn't hit.
No, don't get carried away. Those are coincidences. You know that.
Yes. Yes. And you know, we still haven't had a murder investigation on that either, have we? They had a little commission go in there and blame it on some people. Now we have 19 boogeymen running around the world. Actually, they're alive. They never died in that crash. There were no people on those flights. So, anyway, you know, it's lie after lie after lie after lie. And the average person not knowing what they do, what they hear, what they see, buys it hook, line, and sinker. Now, let's shift gears a little bit, Jim, and let's talk about this presidential campaign. We've had, up until recently, 3 people running for the candidacy, and one lost in the Democratic caucus and got bumped out, and that's Hillary Clinton. She's part 3 of the 3 Stooges go to Washington, and that information is going to be released, too, because Hillary's not finished. You think it's a coincidence Bill Clinton is appearing on all kinds of talk shows and comedy shows? Not at all. They're not finished. And Obama's going to have some problems. McCain is going to have some problems. And they've got them. First of all, I can irrefutably tell the listening audience that neither one should be allowed to run for president. On the basis of the research that I have done, I have unequivocally proved that John McCain could not have been born in a hospital, in a naval hospital, at Coco Solo Naval Base in the Panama Canal Zone on August 29th, 1936, because the hospital didn't exist. And even 5 years and some months after his so-called birth in that hospital, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued Executive Order Number 8981, instructing the Corps of Engineers to go there and mark off the boundary and acquire the property to do that. So the property wasn't even in possession, let alone the hospital. How can you be born in a place that didn't exist? And he's not in the 1936 National Archived Register of Certificates of Live Birth, the people that were born in 1936 in Panama. He's not in that list. And his parents weren't Americans. I've proven that in the research. So you can't use the argument, I don't care if you're a federal judge in California or you're in Washington, D.C., or Congress in a backdoor meeting, in an emergency meeting behind closed doors that violate the sunshine laws. You cannot make someone a citizen who was not born in this country, period. End of story. McCain shouldn't be running. Why would you vote for someone who's not an American? All you Americans out there. Now, let's move on to Obama. It's even worse. He can't even keep his lie straight. At least I'll give McCain the credit. He's sticking to his story. Obama submitting forged documents to the state of Hawaii, or posting him on his website, and even the state of Hawaii says they've never seen this paper before. And it's obviously printed out on a recent machine, looks like a computer printout. The anomalies in the paper, there's no stamp, no proper signatures, no proper seals, certificate or certification number. None of these things are appropriate. And we're supposed to accept that. Well, and then there's a birth certificate in Kenya, and there's one in Indonesia, and one in Vancouver, Canada. My God, when are they going to come up with the one on the moon and Mars? There's got to be one there, too. After all, now we've seen pictures of Obama, and he's a reptilian. Yes, I said that. He's a reptilian, and you can see it. Go to Ken Adachi's site. Go to educate-yourself.org. Ken has a picture I sent him It was originally published in black and white, and I looked at this picture, and the picture said, I'm a color photo. Change the color, and you'll see. And I did. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Couldn't believe it. The anomalies in that photo. So it was intentionally reduced because that's the only photo they had of the so-called Lolo Satoro connection in Indonesia. And I went down the rabbit hole on every detail that I could find. I didn't do him the justice of buying his book because I could pick it apart, I'm sure, every line in the book. Every line I came across in the media, quotes from newspapers, news magazines, the internet, interviews, didn't matter. Whatever I came across, I listened to it, and I thought about what he's saying, and I said, well, wait a minute now. He said he did this in that year, or he was there during that year, or this is who he is. This is what he does. And I found that he contradicted himself every single time he made a statement. Lie after lie after lie. So much that, like I did with the Scherf family and the Walker family, and I say Scherf in place of Bush because their real name is Scherf. I'm honoring their real name. The McCann family, not the McCain, the McCann family. All these people, if you go into their parents and their grandparents, in a few cases with Obama, you've got to look at the great-grandparents because he's more recent. He's younger. So you go into their history, and you can see that these people are not who they claim to be. In fact, they all have worked for the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds. They work for the UN. They work for the Vatican. They work for the Council on Foreign Relations. They work for all of these secret organizations. I heard somebody on the news this evening, after these debates were over on a news program, say something that Henry Kissinger wants this done. What the hell is wrong with these people? Henry Kissinger wants something done? They're actually coming out telling us who the puppet master is. And we're just supposed to take this lying down. Just allow these thieves, these criminals, these madmen to do these things. So the Obama article is posted, folks. Part 4. The real story is posted. Part 4 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington. Next month's Idaho Observer will have Hillary Clinton. Guaranteed. That research is done. For all intents and purposes, the article is complete. The whole world has done research on Hillary Clinton. It's amazing how much corruption is in the Clinton's background. And you have people inviting them on TV shows to listen to Bill toot on his saxophone. And he couldn't hold a candle to Boots Randolph on his worst day. He couldn't shine Boots Randolph's shoes. And they torture us with this insanity. These people are murderers, they're kleptomaniacs, they're liars, they're crooks. The guy's got a mile-long list of women that have filed charges against him over the years, and it's considered, oh, well, you know, that's what being popular is all about. We just have no conscience anymore, no morals, no values, no standards.
And no spine.
Yes, and you can tell I'm on a roll now, Jim. Your turn. Jump in wherever you like.
Well, I just want to make one little comment. You mentioned about Henry Kissinger, and it's interesting to note that last week China sent one of their top men, I forget the name of the guy, to the United States in relation to this entire economic mess, because don't forget, China has a huge stake in the outcome of this thing. And who did that individual meet with first and foremost? But Henry Kissinger. Not even the president. Not even the lunatic in charge of the Treasury. But Henry Kissinger. But what does that really tell you about the power structure of the United States, folks? I mean, if you really think that things are the way you're taught that they are, you're sadly mistaken. That's all I wanted to interject.
Well, we think that maybe we'll have to do something here.
excuse me, I was just focusing on Kissinger for a moment there.
Wasn't bad either.
Now, Brzezinski's a real character, too. I'll tell you something, Jim. You know, I don't want to go point by point through this expose that I did on the Obama roots, but I can tell you there are so many anomalies in this story. Have you ever seen a family photo given to the media where there are four people out of, I'm going to do a quick count here. I see ten people. Four people out of 10 people, or 40% of the people in the picture, are unidentified. Have you ever seen that before?
No, it's pretty strange, I have to tell you.
Yeah, I have such a picture in the article. And, of course, there's a reason for that. When someone reads the research, and I'm telling you, I'll tell the listening audience the same thing. You're going to have to read this if you're really interested in understanding what I've found. You're going to have to read it several times. You're going to find the first time you read it that you're going to think I hadn't slept in a few months and I sat down and started writing this. Really, that's the case. I hadn't slept in a few months, but, or let's say I was sleep deprived, but nonetheless, I started just with the facts as they were presented, you know, from the autobiographies and then the genealogies that were out there. And, of course, it's the same stuff. You know, you put a lie out and you get 1,000 people to print the same lie, and everywhere you look, you see the lie. Well,
it becomes the truth.
Well, yeah, one presumes that it's the truth on the basis of the fact that it's out there 1,000 times. Right? I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. It's not difficult. You know, if there are 4,000 Clear Channel radio stations and they put the lie out on each station, there's 4,000 times it's out there.
Well, that's propaganda 101.
Yes, exactly. So, obviously, if you start out and you ask yourself the question, where did this guy come from? Out of nowhere, where did this guy come to where he's forced down our throat, sort of like, you know, if you've taken an overdose of pills and you're in the emergency room and they're trying to save your life, and so they stick this tube down your throat to pump your stomach. You don't have much choice if you're semi-comatose or unconscious. They're going to do it. Now, if you're awake, somewhat awake, and you don't want it done, you're going to be kicking and screaming, and it's going to be rather difficult. But they're going to come up with some method of stopping you from interfering with it. They're going to make sure, you know, you swallow the tube so that they can do their job. That's if they're really interested in saving your life. Now, I kind of use that as an analogy because we're given all these facts about these people, and much like a bad meal, when it's not resonating with you, you want to go vomit. Okay, and I kind of feel that way when I'm listening to all of this empty, hollow praise for somebody that I never heard of before. And I've been all over the world, as you have, Jim, and many in the listening audience. We've been around the world, or we've studied history, or we studied some art form, or something that's given us above average experience and knowledge about how things work. And none of this makes any sense. None of it makes any sense. I mean, you would expect to see Jerry Springer out there based on his TV career, He was actually the mayor of Cincinnati at one time, and got in trouble. It came out that that he had paid a hooker with a check, and the check bounced, and she filed charges against him. So, you know, it's, and these guys do the same things. The difference is that they have it on film, that they're lured into these situations where they have a, everybody's blackmailable or extortable. Okay, so they work through extortion, blackmail, even, you know, next come the threats, or they'll set them up. They'll get them drugged, they'll get them in some compromising situation, even against their will, they'll do that. They'll go to that extreme to get these people to bend to their will. And then they come up with an idea. Now, you have to ask yourself, in whose interest is it to have a guy that nobody knows about? Because if they don't know anything about him, he can do whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants, and it doesn't mean anything. That's the whole key. This campaign really doesn't mean anything. Because in the end, if they were two honest people, if they were the most qualified people on the planet, and they were the most honest people you could find, they can still rig the vote to put in office whoever they want. They can create any situation to produce any result they want. If it's martial law, if, you know, Bush wants to be a dictator. He's on tape saying, you know, dictator, that'd be fine. You know, that'd be great as long as I'm the dictator. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but basically that's what he said. What kind of statement is that, that people tolerate that or they think nothing of that? Oh, he's just joking. That couldn't happen in my country. Well, remember, these are the sheriffs. They're not the Bushes. You know, they were sent here by Hitler. You can read about it. I've written the article on it. Spent a couple of years on research on this stuff. And there are many other writers, very qualified historians, whose work I read after I did the research, and they agree with me. Many of the things I found on my own are supported by what other people have written. And I did. I also did research in the process of it. I was reading certain material that goes back. And you find this pattern of lying and deceit that we should burn our textbooks because they're full of lies. The CIA's created the educational curriculum to the point to where you're going to look for lies in gym class. You're going to look for things that they told you when you were taking gym class playing dodgeball or kickball, that there's some lie that they taught you there to believe in something that's not true. That's how bad it is. So going down the rabbit hole on these people, Jim, and listening audience, I just found anomaly after anomaly. I found that the official story did not agree with the public statements that people in these families were making. The years didn't match up, and the places didn't match up, and the circumstances didn't match up. And I'm looking at this photograph of the Lolo Satoru family that supposedly spent all these years in Indonesia, and I find out the oil company he worked for wasn't even in Indonesia. It was in Malaysia. And that this guy's name is an Indonesian, two Indonesian words. The word Obama comes from Indonesia. It doesn't come from Africa. So black folks out there, he's not an African American. He's a wannabe. He's pretending he is. This is the type of illusion that they're putting in front of us, and they're laughing. Look at how they're buying this. Look at these suckers. They refer to us as consumers and sheeple and useless eaters. And this is what they do to us. And the people just blindly take it in. Just blindly. Oh. Comments, Jim.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, the horror of it is that we have said things similar to this for the last year and a half on many of your shows, and it's really impossible for us to gauge, you know, just how many people believe the message that we're trying to put across. But the interesting thing about it is, and it's only interesting retrospectively in a kind of a horrible way, when Americans find themselves sitting around with nothing to do in various concentration camps, they'll be talking exactly about, gee, you know, it's interesting, those guys were talking about this very thing on one of their shows. Isn't that something? And that's the kind of thought that haunts my mind, you know, because I got better things to do than to go through a processing center with a bunch of Nazis. But, hey, you know,
yeah.
If that's what our destiny is, then I guess that's what we're going to be in for. But in the meantime, I'll fight the situation until they nail me. And I hope that there's a few Americans that feel the same way.
Well, I know there are. It sounds like we're putting gloom and doom out there, and really, you know, if there were positive things to say, Jim, I would be happy to say them. I talk about many positive topics on this show. The last time you were on the air, we talked about your wonderful inventions and how well they work and the things that they can do. Why is it that that these people cannot satiate their lust for wealth or their lust for power? There's no limit. Only I think their limit moves to total self annihilation. That's really what I see as the future for themselves, what they're creating for themselves. And they'll step on anyone and anything they have to get there, with no consequence, no after or no forethought about what that might lead to. It's amazing that these people, you know, there's not enough money, there's not enough power, and it's not even a real power. You know, you can see their house of cards is tumbling down. I heard someone refer to it, and on a biblical quote, actually, where they're talking about a house of cards built on quicksand. And really, that's what's happening. They're grasping for straws. Now, we talk about this so that people will come to some sense of understanding about the illusion, what it is, because we can move beyond this. And I can guarantee you our next show is not going to be as dark as this, but, you know, what are we doing, really? We're putting light on the darkness. We're bringing the darkness to the light and examining it. So, yes, we get angry. I got to hear lots of folks this past week, Jim, voice their discontent with what's going on. People that have I've never heard from before are really, really upset with what's going on. It's starting to sink in. The one aspect,
let's hope so.
Yeah, the one aspect of the reality which is focused on physical wealth is what they're feeling right now. And they may feel helpless, but it's going to cause them to examine other things, because they have to come to some understanding of how things got this way, as you and I have been talking about on the show tonight. We haven't really gone into the whole history of it. We're glossing over this. We really have to deal with what's happening now. We can't change what's happened in the past, but we have to look at what's happening now in respect to what has happened in the past, because it's the same thing over and over, isn't it?
Oh, always. And let me comment on one thing, too. Actually, we're at a fork in the road right now, because we have two choices. We can allow this ridiculous bailout thing to take place, and we can then start down a really dark path, or you know, we can squash it, no matter what it takes, and put an end to this regime and return to an America that makes some sense. You know, not one that's run by a corporation, but one that's run by a true government for the people, of the people, and by the people. And that would be the nice way to go. But let me say this. In the event that that doesn't occur, we are going to wind up without these people eventually anyway. Because the United States is going to become an island. And it's in the process of being done now. The rest of the world is going to embrace a totally different course of action. They're going to completely sanction the United States. They're already talking about limiting the number of flights that'll come here, limiting or completely eliminating wire transfers between the real banking industry and the fraudulent banking industry. And so the United States will become completely isolated, and it's going to wind up devouring itself. And so what's going to happen is, when the horrors of all of this really come home, one day the people will wake up and they'll realize what's been done to them, and they're going to go out and they're going to take care of the matter on their own. Now that may be a year from now, it may be 5 years from now, I have no way of knowing. But either way, this thing is going to end. And it's just a question of how painful you want the transition to be. And that's the absolute truth. We can put an end to it now and suffer some mild financial discomfort, or we can wait for the entire thing to implode upon itself and unleash an ungodly catastrophe of proportions that we have no way of pondering. And the choice is ours, Don.
Yes, there have been little leaks of information that have come out. I've seen some of this on the web. And, of course, you always have to take this with, you know, a grain of sand and a teaspoon of sugar and maybe a bucket full of salt. I hear people talking about certain authorities, let's say like FEMA. You notice how FEMA is in the background. FEMA, you don't hear much about FEMA at all, do you? You hear about Homeland Security. You hear about TSA at the airports. These idiots that have to rip your luggage apart just to be nasty, you know, just to let you know they're in control. These are people that couldn't find a job at McDonald's, but they take them directly out of the prisons. Because they're ruthless and they can control them and just, you know, make them as evil and nasty as possible. That's the majority of people that we've all seen going to the airports. And this thing that they've got to be able to look in through your clothes. You know, this is part of the fiction, or that you can only have so much toothpaste. What is it? Too much fluoride is dangerous. You know, it just doesn't end, or you can't have.
And you're out of their minds. You know, I was going to say. I remember when they confiscated a brand new tube of toothpaste that I bought to take on a trip with me because it was too large. And I read the guy the Riot Act. I said, "You tell me what kind of a bomb I can make out of this stupid toothpaste." You know, and he said, "I'm only doing my job. I'm only doing my job." Well, of course, isn't that what they said at the concentration camps in Dachau? You know, when they got caught with their pants down? "I'm only following orders." You know, it's the same thing. Nobody realizes what we're being set up for. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Well, you know, the reason I brought all that up is because FEMA is actually the bad guy here. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
And you saw what they did or they didn't do when Hurricane Katrina hit.
Yeah, you know, because that's not their real function, you know. That's the whole point.
Yes, exactly. That was the ruse that they fed the public. That was for public consumption. Just to divert everyone's attention. And
FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Authority or something like that, right? And actually, if you look into the powers that FEMA possesses, you know, they are sitting there in this ruse, as you pointed out, waiting for the go word so that they can take over and run the entire nation. And, you know, it's just amazing the power that they've been given in FEMA. It hasn't got a darn thing to do with hurricanes, believe you me.
Yes. Now, there was a story that, in fact, you alerted me to the story a few days ago. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, where someone in Crawford, Texas, with a supercomputer, tried breaking into the bank accounts of the Mormon Church.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is the type of stuff that's going on, folks. You haven't heard about that in the mainstream media, have you? But it was stopped. That's what's interesting. And as Christopher Story referred to these offshore accounts, these accounts have been frozen. And they can't get to the money. Number one, it's been hypothecated. And understand, it's been created out of thin air. it's amazing. The Federal Reserve. There are still people that think that it's part of the federal government. There's nothing federal about it, just like there's nothing federal about Federal Express.
And there's no reserve money in it either.
Yes. They're upside down to the tune of about $2 quadrillion, Jim. For the past few months, I've been saying it's been around 1.4, 1.5 quadrillion. I've heard three financial analysts that really know what's going on quote the figure $2 quadrillion. And that may be low. 2,000 trillion. That's what $2 quadrillion is. If you were to count a trillion 1 second at a time, $1 at a time, it would take you over 37,000 years to do that. And we're talking about $2,000 quadrillion? Now, it's created out of thin air. So if it's created out of thin air, how much power do they really have? We're literally giving them their power out of thin air. Stop and think, folks. All you have to do is create a vacuum or a black hole. There's no air. No power. It's that simple. All we have to do is wake up and realize our true power, our true selves. This is why we go in. Go ahead, Jim. No, go ahead.
This might be a great time to explain, you know, just how the mortgage system really works in the debt arrangement that these people have created. And why the American people have been so victimized, and why they are going to all this trouble to preserve it. Because when you go into a bank, and let's say you're newly married, you want to buy a house, okay, you apply for a loan. But they go through all of the superficial expected a pomp and circumstance of checking you out, checking your credit line, making sure you have a job and all this nonsense. And then the first thing that they have you sign is a note. Okay, well, that note, folks, is the real source of the wealth for that transaction. And it has nothing to do with the bank. That note is an instrument in which you pledge your future earnings for the next 30 years to the tune of whatever it is, $1,000 a month, $1,200 a month, $1,500 a month toward paying off that house. But the interesting thing is, you mentioned earlier, Don, the term hypothecation. Here's a good example of it. They are hypothecating the value of that of your future earnings, which is essentially your credit line based on the total amount of money that you can earn in a lifetime, the total amount of property that you own, and this and that and the other thing, versus the average number of years that you will live. And that credit is brought from the future to the present when you sign on that dotted line. You actually create the wealth at that instant that buys your home. It didn't exist before that time. And interestingly enough, what happens then is that they sell that note in huge bundles with other people's notes to foreign countries to convert it into cash. And that cash comes back and pays for your home. Well, here's the interesting thing. Since you're the one who originates the credit and produces the wealth, the interest should really be paid to you. As a matter of fact, the principal should be paid to you as well, since you're the one who advanced it. But that's not what happens. Oh, no, God forbid. What happens is they trick you into thinking that you were loaned something, when in reality they drew down on your personal credit line. So what do they do in return for that? They screw you twice. They not only have you pay the principal to the bank, but the interest that's due to you is also paid to the bank. And that's just as insane as walking up to your neighbor at the fence and asking him if you can borrow a rake to rake some leaves. And he says, oh, sure, John, no problem. Run down to the hardware store and buy a rake. Bring it back here. And like a lunatic, you go down to the hardware store, you buy yourself a rake, you bring it back and present it to your neighbor. And he says, yep, this is a great rake. I will loan this to you, or I will lease this to you for $10 a day. Isn't that a good deal? And that's exactly the kind of screwing that we take every day in this country. And if you examine the situation in detail and you start to think about how many mortgages are issued every year on residences alone, and that doesn't count small businesses, commercial accounts, industrial accounts, God only knows what else, municipal accounts, the flow of money is absolutely astronomical. It defies description, and it's all fraud. Every bloody bit of it. So
yes.
The next time you guys scrape along the bottom of your pocket to try to find out enough money to pay your mortgage, just remember that they should be paying you.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Most people don't even think about how much they're spending when they're buying a house. They make it easy for you to buy the house by breaking it into incremental payments. So every month you're just making ends meet. Basically, it's the concept of hand to mouth. You're living hand to mouth. You get the money, you eat it, they eat it, it's gone. Till next month rolls around. And in the average home, let's say if it's only a $100,000 home, by the time you're finished paying for that $100,000 home, you've paid $300,000. And you've produced that wealth. They haven't spent a penny.
Nor do they loan you anything.
Yes, exactly. But they tell you that you loan it. What's even more incredible is that money goes to a corporation. It goes to one bank. All that money that's collected on any type of security agreement or trust or stock goes to the Depository Trust and Clearinghouse Corporation, DTCC, in New York at 55 Water Street. It's a very, very well-kept secret. Back around 1999, they had done $19 trillion in transactions. $19 trillion. Now, how much money is that, folks? Well, if you take the $1.575 trillion, just over $1.5 trillion that Leo Wanta was expecting to pay had he gotten his $4.5 trillion settlement from the Treasury Department for the takedown of the Soviet Union, That would fix all of our roads, all of our bridges, all of our schools. It would have given health care to the whole country, and you'd have still had money left over. But someone else took the money instead. And far more than that. In fact, they stole $27.5 trillion, and then they duplicated the books. Because they knew they stole it, and they knew they were going to have to prove that they stole it, or they were going to have to show that it was actually honest money. And who, you know, who, Hillary Clinton going into a bank saying, I'm going to pick up this $27.5 trillion? They've got her on tape. At the Bank of Crozier in Grenada, in the West Indies, the FBI knows that she was there. Even though they turned the machines, the cameras off while she was there, she left on one occasion with $750 billion. Of course, they do these in banknotes or treasury certificates. We had an $18 trillion theft that they tracked a little over a month ago going to Israel. They also know that Israel got several trillion dollars. India received $25 trillion of laundered money. A lot of this is going through Deutsche Bank. And I mentioned that case in Cleveland that occurred some months ago where they tore down the 2,000 houses and the people didn't have a copy of the contract that was given to Deutsche Bank. So they're going to get some money back. They're going to be able to get a house. But you see, people don't even know that they have legal recourse because this is all being done using these criminal methods. And we've got 10,000 houses. The Treasury says this. I heard Paulson say this a couple of days ago. I couldn't imagine this. And he said, oh, we'll fix this, and we're going to use the money. The $700 billion is also going to pay down credit cards and student loans. For whom? They have no intention of paying that off. This is giving them play money. It's monopoly money, so they can continue the game. And you don't have to trust what I'm saying. I read Christopher Story's comments on it. And he's a man that just received a phone call with three gunshots heard in the background. Same technique they used to get to cause Janet Phelan, who's been reporting the poisoning of the water and the poisonous vaccines they're giving the kids, to cause her to go to Mexico and then to flee to Canada because he was being set up for a takedown because he's reporting the truth. People have to start growing some hair on their chest. At least the men. I'm not going to ask the women to do that. But in metaphorically speaking, we all have to do that. We have to start standing up because we're just witnessing organized crime. That's all this is. And I urge you, if you haven't read the Three Stooges Go to Washington, you've got to read the whole Obama story is about this money laundering. That's what it led me to, and I reported it. And it's funny that the banks are having this problem right about the time this article comes out. And that there's a problem in the mortgage industry, in the home loan industry. It's very ironic that this article came out and you're having this problem right before your eyes, the same time the article came out. And if I wrote this 10 years ago, I'd probably come to the same conclusion. It just so happens that the banks are absolutely failing because of what they're doing internationally. And we talked about that at the top of the show, didn't we, Jim?
Yes, sir.
You better say yes, sir. No, I'm just kidding. Well, any closing comments? This has been a barn burner here, and we've covered a lot of area. I'm speaking really for the listening audience and the folks out there that I heard this week. I heard a lot of really good, fine American people who are awake and see exactly the game that's going on. And they saw it before we saw this charade go on before Congress. These guys are every bit as guilty as the ones at the top that are doing this.
Well, let's not forget the way this thing is set up. There's a corporation called the United States, and it's a company. And when you elect a president, it's not a president of the country, it's a president of the company. And that's one of the biggest charades that's been played on the American people for at least 100 years. And the interesting thing is the Senate is the board of directors. So when you start to put these complaints before your senators and your representatives, just who do you think they are really concerned about? The American people or their holdings in the corporation? That's the dilemma. I mean, it isn't even about the United States. You know, the Senator Traficant, before they put him away for life, tried to reveal all of this, and he wrote an interesting paper called The Bankruptcy of the United States, and it was all over the Internet for several months before it was finally squashed. You might be able to still find it, and it is worth reading. But the one thing that it fails to point out is the very issue that I'm describing. It's this corporation which is bankrupt, folks. Our country isn't bankrupt. If it were, then there'd be no point in them trying to get the wealth that's inherent within it. Let them go down the tubes. This is what they deserve. There's enough lampposts in all the major cities that we can have these guys swinging by the neck from all these lampposts if that's what you decide to do with them, because they're all treasonous. Every one of them. This is outright treason. Fraud and treason and every form of corruption imaginable. So, you know, I think we should take back our country, and I think we should do it with great dispatch. And I don't think we should have any soft spots in our heart when it comes to dealing with these criminals.
Yeah, I just got a great idea for the use of your Dynaflux generator, too. We could use electric chairs. Well, that, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just visualizing the lampposts and powering the hoists. So, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, my goodness. It's it doesn't have to be this way. We're dealing really, this is spiritual warfare here. This goes far beyond humans. These are not even human beings that we're talking about. And you used a very descriptive phrase earlier on, and you hit it right on the head.
Which phrase was that?
Oh, you just let it slip. It just came out. You called them reptilian something or other, and that resonated with me. That made sense. Because we've seen photographic evidence of this. So this is not something that's imaginary. It's not made up. And really, only a reptilian could do this to a human being. One human being could not do this to another.
Well, don't forget, when your soul is dead, all the higher functions shut down, and really all that's left is the most ancient part of the brain, which is just barely capable of keeping the body moving and controlling the most preliminary decision centers, and that is defined as the reptilian brain. So even if they're not reptilians in the 21st century definition of the term, they are certainly reptilian in their functionality, and that is something they've achieved by destroying their own souls. So, either way, I'm correct.
Yes. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for engaging in this, in these topics, off the cuff. You know, we hadn't prepared anything, really. And then again, we're just talking about our life's experiences here. And anyone that's listening that can resonate with this, I'm sure you've seen something in your life that we're not that far off base. We're not asking anyone to believe us. No, not at all. If you have
any
doubt...
Well, the irony of it is, anybody with a computer can check this stuff out on their own. They don't have to listen to us.
Yeah, that's right. But we want them to tune into the show, so we don't want to discourage them.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Jim, we've come to that time, and I want to wish you a great weekend, all things considered. We've got a lot to take in. I know people are reading my article already. It's been up for a couple of hours, and already I'm going to give you a figure on this. Just track it. We've had 633 people read it in 4 hours. That's not bad. Not bad
well,
at all.
Especially for this time of day. I mean, you know, wait till we hit the, 9 o'clock a.m. on Saturday morning. It'll probably jump sky high.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your participation, and I wish you the best over the weekend. I should let the listening audience know you did help me with some research. We were doing some localized research that you were able to help with, and my hat's off to you for that too.
Well, I'll do whatever I can, Doug.
All right, well, you have yourself a great weekend, and to the listening audience, please tune in during the coming week. We've got some great shows lined up for you, as always, and I want to give special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Folks know that he didn't ask me to say this, he is working overtime to alleviate some of the issues that have bottled up the traffic flow to the website, to the various audio streams. The streams were under attack this afternoon from about 4 o'clock Pacific time, and they were able to work that out so you could hear the show tonight. We're upgrading things, and we're going to be state-of-the-art. We are going to be starting a new show, and maybe I'll be able to get Jim Murray on this show as well. We're going to call the show Infiltrators. And we have a new website within the BBS site called infiltrators.com. These are not traders. These are infiltrators. And we're going to be doing a show and have some great researchers and news articles. We're going to have audio interviews, video, the whole works. It's really going to be great, and it's going to be all the things that mainstream media wishes they could be. With that, also, I want to thank Seth Hendrick for the sound tonight. Seth, it was great. No glitches at all. It was fantastic. And I want to most of all thank the listening audience and all the folks that send in email, and I'm doing my best to get some of the guests scheduled that you have recommended. So we're going to continue this walk through life. As difficult as it may get sometimes, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And just follow the evident footprints, and you'll find your way to it. In the meantime, I wish everyone peace, love, and light, and a great weekend, and have a good night.